Listen.
Radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
What is CITR's reputation, being that it's been around for so long?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's very active in the community because it's run by community members and UBC students, obviously. Whether you're into radio as a hobby or whether you want to get some real-world experience, it's a great place to go. It's like a very open and creative environment. Everybody that's, you know, working here seems really jazzed about what they're doing at the station. Just lots of really like good, like challenging music and spoken word content. It's a great station.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam territory. Learn how to get involved at citr.ca.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
I'm listening November. I'm listening November. I won't fuck it over. Hi, good evening, and welcome to the Music Affairs Collective Word on the Street. My name is Zubin. I'm going to be your host today. I'm joined by the lovely...
I'm Bailey. I'm here today.
As well as...
Hi, I'm Bryden.
And as always...
Yeah, you know what it is. Eric, how y'all doing?
Okay, today we are going to talk about some great bands coming to Vancouver soon, namely The Weather Station and... I'm just blanking on the other guy's names. Oh, The Archaics. Yeah. That's good. There we go. We're also going to discuss a little bit about some social activism and lyrics and protest songs in general, just as a topic of discussion. But before that, Bryden, would you like to talk about these two bands?
Sure. The first one we have is The Archaics. These guys are a five-piece psychedelic art rock band from Edmonton. According to, I think, their Bandcamp, their experimental tastes create an orchestrated, cavorting atmosphere that accompanies one through thoughts of kaleidoscopic hysteria, a tangible swing from a twisted frame of mind. So let's see if the music can match up to that description. We're going to be playing Not For Nothing off of their new album, Soft Focus.
In the morning, I'll be back. Just
So that was the Archaics. You can catch those guys playing the 333 on Sunday. That was pretty good. Yeah. That was Not For Nothing off their new album Soft Focus. Described by one reviewer as listening to a demented version of The Doors, which is saying a lot because, you know, The Doors are already pretty demented. And yeah, I can kind of hear that.
Yeah, I kind of see the similarities. Like, I also read that review, and the reviewer talked about the singer sounding a bit like Jim Morrison, but like a raggedy version, and I could kind of see it.
Yeah, it definitely has that like psychedelic beach rock kind of feel. Like, you can feel that throughout that song and the other songs on the album. It really is the like pervasive sound to their music on top of the other stuff.
I could also catch some kind of like early Black Keys vibes that I was kind of digging.
Yeah, I can see that.
Knowing the 333 as a venue, too, I feel like it's an adequate place for them.
Yeah, they would be really fun there.
So, how were your weekends, I guess? Let's start off with that. What did you guys get up to?
Not too much. One of my friends turned 19 on Saturday, so
That
was a good night. But aside from that.
I had a 20th birthday party for my friends that are twins, also a birthday.
Nice.
And they decided to do a 20 burger, 20 nugget cake. Like, they put candles in them and lit those. So that was fun. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, I didn't get up to too much. I was mostly studying. I studied yesterday. I should probably be studying right now, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, I'll just talk about a show I went to on Thursday, last Thursday, at the Pit. Rappers Without Borders, shout out Rappers Without Borders, I'm a member. But they hosted a music event, had UBC artists playing Traffic, End All Be All, former student AK, and it was pretty good. It was a Thursday. Clearly exam seasons got people scared because not too many people were there, but there was a good crowd, a good passionate crowd, and that was good. Rappers Without Borders hosting a Pit Hop once every Thursday, first Thursday of every month. Or is it the last Thursday of every month? It must be the last Thursday of every month. Oh, is it the first? First Thursday of every month, Rappers Without Borders at the Pit. Check that out if you're a UBC student. Hey, that's an opportunity for you to make some fans and grow your fan base. Yeah, so what about you guys? Anyway, weekend events?
The King Krule show was, I think, on Sunday. None of us here went, but I had a friend go.
Yeah,
and apparently it was pretty awesome.
I knew. Recommended, apparently.
Yeah.
Where was it?
The Vogue Theater.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then upcoming events, we've got some bands playing all over the place. I'm just looking through. There's not a lot. I don't know if... Does the Discord get widely distributed? Or is it just on campus?
It's pretty widely distributed because I've seen it like in some record stores downtown and like all these other stores which CITR is friends with. It's pretty distributed. Never know. Go and open one of those metal boxes that have newspapers and stuff. You might see one.
Yeah. Well, I was just looking at the back and I always love looking at all the concerts that are coming, but this one has concerts going all the way to almost the end of January. I guess it's kind of a dry season for...
Yeah. Another event. Tuesday, we got... Well, that's actually today. No, November... Yes, that is today. My bad. You know how exam season goes. November 7th, we've got Latin Karaoke Tuesday at the Pit. So, you know, pull up the Pit Pub UBC, you know.
Okay, here we go. Thank you. Okay, we've got a bunch of events coming on. What's the day today? The 7th. We've got... it's Shindig Night. Yeah.
Who's playing?
Sorry, Edith, Rain Cloud, and No Mothers at, I don't know.
I believe you can find all that information.
Yeah, you can find all this
Facebook
information
online.
Yeah.
Should be cool. Personally, haven't been out to a shindig yet, but I would really like to go.
Yeah. All right, that's enough messing around. Let's move on to some of the topics we wanted to talk about. I think one of them was lyrics, just how lyrics have had social impact, how lyrics have affected you. So someone want to start us off?
Yeah, let me start us off because like what I was thinking when I was suggesting this as a topic, you know, like some of us, when it comes to deciding what a good genre of music is, a lot of our decisions are based also on like the lyrics and the content of the music. not just the feel good, like, you know, that whole feel good beat, like, comes with lyrics as well. Like, lyrics can really, like, change your mood, like, that quick. And, you know, I just wanted us to, like, considering that we just got to know each other and we're just getting to understand each other's tastes, I just wanted to, you know, to gauge you guys, like, when you're listening to a song, what elements of the song are you listening to? The lyrics, you know, what matters and what doesn't matter to you guys?
I think what kind of music it is really depends where it's, like, the genre. Like, if I'm listening to a rapper, like, I probably care a lot more about their lyrics than I do if I was listening to, like a more poppy song. Because then that's just kind of more about, like, feelings and, like, a general sound to me.
I'm kind of awful with lyrics just in general. I can't remember them. I can listen to an album 100 times and I can pretty much sing along with it, but then as soon as somebody asks me what my favorite lyric on it is, I just kind of go blank. But I know that there is certain types of music where I do really appreciate the lyrics. Hip-hop is one of them for sure. A lot of kind of folk music has really powerful lyrics, especially some of the stuff from like the 60s, like the, you know, Bob Dylan, obviously, Leonard Cohen. And you know, in other types of music, I'll enjoy the lyrics as well, but normally I focus on the music, I guess.
I find that I'm horrible at actually understanding lyrics. I've had a couple times lately where I've really liked a song, like mostly, I guess, like punk bands, and I've loved the songs, but I can't understand the lyrics. And I look it up, and they're posted, like, nowhere. They don't have them on their Bandcamp, and here I am loving this song, but I don't know what I'm loving. I don't know what they're saying. So that's a problem. But I do find myself with, like, pop and more upbeat music. It doesn't really matter what the lyrics are. It's the way the song feels. But the whole genre of, like, folk punk that I find myself really into, I think for that it's because of the style of the lyrics, you really understand it, and you're listening to the story that the lyrics tell more so than the music, at least for me with genres like that.
Yeah, if I could add on to that, like, I've noticed from experience, like, you really, like, I don't know, like, it's how the human brain is, you know, configured and stuff. But, like, a lot of things just fly over your head subliminally, you know, especially to do with lyrics. So, like, for me, one thing I like doing when I'm after listening to a song, and, you know, when you like a song, what I like to do is I like listening to the song and reading the lyrics at the same time. And then that way, like, you honestly get a different perspective to the song, and it really makes or breaks it for you, you know. Like, personally, like, I'm a huge hip-hop fan, and, like, hip-hop, like, it's all about the lyrics. And, like, you know, on a social aspect, like, these lyrics, like, artists get away with saying so much stuff that people actually don't, yeah, you know, go back and think about and be like, how's this impacting our society, you know? So, like, in your opinions, and, like, the best thing is, like, not we're all, like, diverse in terms of genres of music. Like, in you guys' opinion, what do you think, specifically, like, rap lyrics, do you think they have a profound impact on our society and, like, kids growing up and even adults,
like,
in college?
No doubt. Yeah, like, for sure. I mean, like, classic example would be, like, NWA's Fuck the Police. Like, that,
yeah,
that was an anthem that, like, white suburban kids would be, like, yeah, bumping, like, the same. I mean, especially once, like Eminem became big and, like, rap, like, grew to, like, suburbia and like, now it's such a, like, hugely mainstream genre that, like, it has an appeal to, like, I'd say, like, at least the vast majority of, like, music consumers. I think on the note of hip-hop, though, I think, like, as a lot of, I mean, would be categorically described as old heads, feel that, like, hip-hop has gone, like, less away from the lyrics and more into the beats with, like, the emergence of, like, trap music and, like, the artists that that's brought with it. And, like, I agree, I guess, to some sense, but I think there's definitely a lot of, like, highly skilled lyrical rappers out there, but, like, production has also just gone so much better compared to, like, the 90s.
Yeah, I was gonna mention, I don't know if I personally would agree that it's all about the lyrics. I know that the lyrics are definitely the important part, or one of the very important parts, but for me, a lot of my favorite hip-hop albums would still be some of my favorite hip-hop albums if they were instrumentals, because, like, the lyrics are important, and the lyrics carry the message, but if there's nothing backing it up, then I can't focus on it. It loses my interest.
Shout out to producers, right, Eric?
Yeah.
I find for me, I've never been particularly into hip-hop, and I think that's just I haven't been exposed. But the only time that I've, like, the two artists that I find myself really into are Open Mike Eagle and Milo, I'm not sure. But both of them, I find, like, their lyrics are different. They're so self-aware, and a lot of them are just, like, almost mocking. Not mocking, but they have very interesting reflections on the songs, like, themselves. And that's what drew me into that. Like, that's the first time I ever listened to rap, and it's because their lyrics stood out to me.
Yeah. All right, I think we're going to cut away to some ads right now, but we'll be back after this short break.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
High school is not free in Kenya, East Africa. As well as tuition fees, families must find money for uniforms, including shoes, textbooks, calculators, dictionaries, pens, pencils, and more. For poor, rural families earning the equivalent of $2 to $3 a day, this is often an impossible challenge. Will you help educate bright, very poor Kenyan youth to help them find a road out of poverty for their families? Just $50 a month will allow that to happen. Gifts of smaller amounts can be combined to give youth a chance through KEEF, the Kenya Education Endowment Fund, a registered, BC-based, volunteer-run educational charity. Tax-deductible receipts are available. Donations make great gifts for Christmas, graduation, anniversaries, promotions, etc. Gift cards are available. More information at www.kenyaeducation.org, or you can call us at 604-415-9397, day or evening.
Thank you.
So that was Julian Baker with the song Appointments off her new album, Turn on the Lights. You can catch her, she's coming here, I think, in like December. But let's go back to what we were talking about with lyrics. Does anyone have any specific songs or artists where the lyrics really impact you? Or you feel the lyrics have been particularly impactful?
Yeah, I'd like to just throw in not a specific example, but just a range of examples. I don't know, I haven't done the statistics or anything, but I'm sure if you could just pick any random location in the world and you look at the correlation between violence and aggression in the music and crime rates, I don't know. I'm sure there's a correlation going on there, you know? You know those songs, I don't want to specifically point out a genre, we're just speaking in general, but there's songs that really encourage like violence so blatantly, you know? And they just encourage violence and all sorts of misdemeanors. And, you know, the population, like, statistics start changing, you know. So I don't know, what do you guys think? I might just be speaking off the...
You mean a crotchety old man?
You know, exactly. Like, you know, these kids, this new generation. But, I mean, it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. And I really feel like, you know, what, like, there's a correlation between... what's going on in the statistics in society and music. I think music is a powerful driving force.
Yeah, I mean, whatever's popular is going to have a big impact on people. And even, you know, some artists, like when, you know, black metal bands from Norway sing about burning down churches, there are some churches that get burned down. It's just, stuff happens, you know?
I think more than anything, artists make art based on their surroundings. So I think if you hear violent music or, like, in general, if there's, like, a wave of that, it's probably more representative of society as a whole and what's going on in the world. Yeah, I think, I mean, even if you were to find that kind of correlation, I would probably say the causation is inverse. Like, not that the music would be creating the effects, but that the effects of society are creating the music.
Yeah, I feel like I agree with that. My first response to that question would be more that I think in the groups that listen to violent music, it would be that the violence is already there and the music then fits their values rather than the music being what causes the violence and their values in the first place.
But in a sense, this kind of goes down to like the core of like many like basic philosophical debates.
yeah.
Or like just like, yeah, do people start blank or are they like formed by things, you have predetermined stuff, like what's up to chance, like what?
Yeah, music can definitely have a positive impact as well, though. Like, I know protest songs are a really good example of music affecting positive social change, hopefully, usually positive social change. Yeah,
like for example, I was just reading recently about like Nina Simone's Mississippi Goddamn, which she actually first played at Carnegie Hall, so far from the issues going on back home for her in the U.S., but it cemented her with a relationship with the civil rights movement. And I mean, another one of her songs that I really like is, I think it's The King of Love is Dead or something. It's her song after MLK died. And there's like a really good live version. It's on Spotify, I think, and other stuff. You can listen to it. It's a very good emotional ride. And you can, I mean, like most of her music, you can really feel her emotions and the rawness of it. And I think it's a really good, like, representation of the times, especially for, like, black people in the U.S. and, like, the struggles they were going through.
And I know she didn't do the original version of Strange Fruit, but she did definitely one of the most powerful versions.
And, like, as an artist, I mean, since we were talking about hip-hop earlier, she's been sampled a lot. And, like Jay-Z, Kanye, a lot of other big rappers, like, their producers at least go back to her music for samples. For example, like, The Story of O.J. on Jay-Z's new album had a great sampling by No ID of her song,
Four Women.
Yeah, Four Women. There it is, yeah. You know, and like that message that Jay-Z's talking about, like, is still kind of the same thing that like black people in the U.S. during Nina Simone's time would have been talking about, but like the same issues still prevail, right? Like a lot of that song's recurring message is like still black.
Yeah.
But like, if I can use if I can just use another genre as an example, like, I don't know, let's go with like the darkest heavy metal you've ever listened to. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they're not preaching peace and love in that music, but like, what do you think in that same, like Bailey said, you know, at the end of the day, like, it's like the egg and the chicken kind of question. You don't know what comes first, right? Like, is one a cause of the other, or is one the effect of the other? But like, you know, like heavy metal, like, you know, they have that energy that, you know.
Yeah.
But maybe it just some fits. Aggression. I think I agree more with Bailey. Like, maybe it just fits, like, the people who've got that kind of, like, built-up angst in them, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of person who seeks out or who gets really into death metal probably already has those emotions, those kind of, that dark energy inside them, right?
Yeah.
I guess dark energy sounds a little too intense, a little too dramatic, but, you know.
It's an interesting point because, like, you know, if you think about it, like, let's just say, for example, you know, you go to, like, the Las Vegas stuff, for example, you lose someone, you know. You're all about, you know, you just want to speak about, like, the anger that you're feeling, you know. So you put that out in a song, for example, you know, talking about death, you know. Is it counterproductive that, you know, you're trying to, like, you know, you're talking about the same thing that you're trying to, you know, get rid of? You know, what do you guys think, like?
I know that there's some people, especially when it comes to angrier, like, violent songs, they say that they have that aspect of their personality, but they almost can channel it through getting into the songs, and then it doesn't actually manifest in their life. Like, through that angry music, then they kind of get rid of that energy, and then they can be all peaceful and calm. So maybe that's what it does for some people.
Yeah, and I mean, since you mentioned the topic of death, I mean, like, that's the thing, at least for the time being, that all of us have to face at some point, whether it's us or others around us. And I think, like, music, like most art, is a good way of addressing those issues. So, I mean, especially if, say, someone's gone through, like, a personal, like, a lot of great music has come from points when people felt really bad or, like, were really sad. Like, how many breakup albums are there, like, so that people have that are, like, considered quite good, or, like, from something else, like a death close to them.
Yeah. Shout out to Joni Mitchell. I just wrote an entire essay on Blue. It's not just a breakup album, but it is a very good breakup album as well.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It always comes back to that. So, like, for example, someone who talks about, you know, going through a breakup situation, you know, you're going through that, you know, you're talking about it in your song. Like, are you encouraging breakups? You're not encouraging it, of course, but like, is the result of your music gonna be more breakups? You get what I mean?
Maybe it'd be the opposite. I mean, wouldn't you think people, if people were that simple, I think they'd want to stay in a relationship and not suffer the heartbreak.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, so, on other topics, I guess it depends. But like, one thing, I guess, going back to like earlier, like, I mean, like, I don't think there was like an outrage, like an outburst of like middle-class suburban white kids like starting to deal drugs after like rap music became popular in suburbia, you know.
Yeah,
like there would have been more like fear about like, oh, like what is the rap music's influence and stuff, but like I highly doubt you would find any spikes in that because like their life situations are already so different.
Yeah, Like, still on that topic, guys, like, what do you think? Should there be, is there enough, and should there be more accountability in, like, in all music genres in terms of lyrics? Because, I mean, you produce, like, when it comes to the beat or an instrumental, like, you can't really, you know what I mean? You can't have, like, how do I put it? You can't be accountable for having a bad beat, let's just say that. But, like, you can't be accountable for, like, the things you say in your music. What do you guys think? Is like even just among your circles and friends and family, is there recognition of that accountability? Like, did you just hear what he said type of attitude, or is it like people just let it pass by?
I mean, I feel like there's got to be, you got to own what you say, but at the same time, if you say something like, do you think the Beatles should be blamed for Charles Manson hearing Helter Skelter? And, you know, hearing it as a message to go kill a bunch of people. Like, obviously, there's going to be people who totally misinterpret what you say. And then are you still accountable for that? And even if what you're saying is directly, like, you're talking about violence.
Maxwell Silverhammer.
Yeah, right?
Which, I mean, should be seen as a completely ridiculous song, but...
Yeah.
With no intentions of actually...
I don't think any right-minded musician creates music with the intention of making other people... go hurt other people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, possibly there's some obscure artists to do, but...
There probably are. and what you're saying with the... it popped into my head. There's this song, Rumble, by Link Ray, and it's an instrumental, but it was banned from the radio for being obscene. Because it's just... It's such a kind of ominous, dark... It's from, like, the 50s, so there's that element as well, where they banned a lot of stuff. But it's just the emotion is still there. The emotion of just kind of stuff is not quite right. And that's an important thing to let, to have music with that emotion. Like, you can't censor that, is basically what I'm saying.
I think what is changing with, like, accountability and in terms of, like, social issues is, like, I keep going back to, like, hip-hop, but, like sexism and like homophobia are becoming like less and less accepted in like mainstream rap, and like I find it the more like when I'll be reading comments online and stuff, there's like more and more people who are like willing to call it out and like disagree with artists for it, whereas in the past, like, that was just the way things were, like that's everything was like that, like nobody would be like, oh, you can't call someone a faggot
in your
like song, but like now people would be like, like, there's a lot of big artists, and then, like, more artists are willing to come out, like, even if they're not super public about their private lives, because obviously it's their private lives, but, like, it's people are, I think there's more acceptance just in general society, and that translates to music, too. So, like, the culture shifts, and certain things that were deemed fine are now deemed to be totally inappropriate, which I think is a good thing, because a lot of the things that were deemed appropriate were terrible.
Yeah, I think it's kind of hard when it gets down to something like that, because you want to say, like, the artist can say whatever they want, it's their music, people shouldn't take it as, like, their words exactly, it's just their art, it's their music. But when it comes to things like sexism and homophobia, the music is, like, normalizing that, and it's letting people hear that and then bring it into their lives. So for that kind of stuff, it's like, no, that shouldn't be in music. Mm-hmm. And then it feels weird to say that, to be like, well, this song's saying the wrong thing. Like, it's a weird line to kind of walk along and say, well, what should we be saying? Can we tell people what to say? Yeah, it's hard.
I mean, well, that's why we have protection of free speech. I think, like, everyone... decide. Yeah. You know, like, as long as we don't go back to the days when, like, songs are just banned on the radio because some people arbitrarily decide, but, like, if people don't want to listen to music because of social issues, then, like, they should do that.
Yeah. Well, sorry to interrupt the conversation again, but we're gonna play some more ads, and then we'll be back right after this break. Got the cue up, right?
Sometimes it feels like the only thing
you can count on in life is the fact that Mint Records will always have a Christmas party and always have it ridiculously early. This year, join Woolworm, Needles and Pins, Jay Arner, Supermoon, Kellerisa, and Dumb at the Astoria on December 2nd for music, presents, and Christmas fun.
A lot of the hardcore stuff is just is fast, very aggressive, and loud, you know, music, angry music. This world is gonna-
I am your host, Mr. Steeston Mike. Welcome to the Flex Your Head Show on CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. I'm here every Tuesday.
6 to 8 p.m.
Playing some punk and hardcore for you. If you want to hear something, feel free to give me a call at 604-822-2487 or swing by flexyourhead.net and send us an email with a request.
And we're back. Kind of. Yeah. So we've got a few more things we want to talk about. We've got one more band, and we've got some events that are coming up. So yeah, why don't you hit us with the band?
Sure. The Weather Station is coming to Vancouver soon. They released a new album, self-titled, so it's The Weather Station. Described on their bio of their website as a work of profound urgency, artistic generosity, and joy. Tamara Lindemann, who's the front, I guess, center, singer, person of the band, described it as a rock and roll record that sounds nothing like a rock and roll record because that's what she wants it to sound like, which I found a very interesting statement. And we have the song 30 from that album to play for you.
Put your hand on the small of my back. I was surprised that you touched me like that. But there in your hand was a current of life I could hardly stand. I stayed still and I didn't imagine it. If I did, I'd made some joke of it. It was strange how I could feel so sane, so plain when you're around. Clearly and strange, far and as close as a mountain range. On the horizon, driving all day, there I was so sane, so plain after everything. Gas came down from about 20, the joke was how it broke the economy. The dollar was down, but my friends opened business. sometimes, but you know as do I. I cannot look twice without falling right into the sweet and the tender line between something that can and can never be. And just then an ambulance passed on the street, and you took my arm reflexively. That was the year I was 30. That was the year you were 31. That was the year that we lost all we won. That was the year I was 30. That was the year you were 31. That was that year. Now here, now here is another one.
That was 30 by the Weather Station, and they're going to be in Vancouver tomorrow at the Fox Cabaret, and I believe they're also playing at CITR sometime in the afternoon.
Yeah. That was pretty good. What did the review say about them?
There were good reviews.
Yeah, I don't have any...
I did not take down details of the reviews.
I don't have any obvious band plus other band comparisons, but yeah. That was just some pretty enjoyable stuff.
I know I read that she was a nominee for one of the Canadian Songwriters Awards.
Oh.
I think SoCan's back in like 2013 or something.
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely feels very folky, but mm-hmm. It's like a comfortable listen, I guess. I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah. Speaking of folk music, I guess we can just keep going with lyrics because that's our topic
today.
That's
our loose topic of the day.
We got it. In that
past song, I really enjoyed it. One of her verses when she's talking about the dollar being down. I don't know. I just felt a little like twang of, oh, so Canadian as she said that.
I love those, little Canadian references, a little hometown. I guess Canada kind of feels like a hometown.
Yeah, it definitely sure. does.
Despite the vast space.
Yeah.
But we've got a small mentality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In media references, when there's like Canadian ones, you're like, yeah, that's me. That's Canada.
That's us. We did that. I did that. You get to kind of claim ownership over it. Yeah. That's cool. So, speaking of lyrics, how about something a little more lighthearted? Like, what are some of your favorite love songs or lyrics about people?
Lyrics about people. Well, okay, this isn't lighthearted, but when we go into like lyricism where we haven't gone yet, some of my favorites, as I mentioned earlier, is folk punk. Mm-hmm. I enjoy, like, I first found the band Ramshackle Glory, and it's fronted by a guy who goes by Pat the Bunny. And it's interesting because you can look up the different bands he's had over his career. I think there's 3 or 4 of them. And they're characterized by completely different, like, lyrical themes. And they kind of chronicle just his life in this. And it's like, so the first one was his solo project where it was just kind of him being a homeless teen and playing shows. Then it goes into a band that's kind of like, oh, drugs are fun and cool. And then it's like, in the meantime, then he goes to rehab, comes back, and then starts this other band where the whole album is pretty much focused on him getting over heroin. And then after that album, he then goes, okay, you know what? The folk punk life isn't for me anymore, and just quit that altogether. And just, I love how, like, lyricism can tell a story within a song, but for that, over the course of his bands, it also tells it. I don't know. I love
That's
that.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I know. Whenever an artist like Will Oldham, or I guess now he's still Bonnie Prince Billy, but he's gone like 5, 6 more name changes, and they just felt kind of random, a lot of them. I guess maybe at the time they didn't, but looking back in hindsight, they feel kind of random. That's cool when there's like an actual kind of meaning, like each one is a new chapter.
Yeah, it's like a total story, and I love how it ends with him going, all right, this isn't for me anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I think Eric has some events he wants to go over, so here's Eric.
Yeah, just some events, important events happening at UBC that we forgot to mention earlier. First of all, recap, Shindig number 5 is going on tonight. Sorry Edith versus Rain Cloud versus Salt Thief. It's a 3-on-3, last band standing. Let's see who's going to come out of that victorious. It's happening at Pat's Pub and Brewhouse, and that's tonight, so make it there if you can. Also, tomorrow, November 8th, we've got BVP, Black Vinyl Project, at UBC Music Club. They're hosting an open mic tomorrow at The Nest from 7 to 10 p.m. at the gallery. Be there or be square. You know what it is. November 9th, again, BVP Music Club, because you know we are the Music Affairs Collective. We got the BVP Record Party, and they're having a listening party, and they're inviting artists to just come and, like, you know, share your music. It's all about good vibes, good music. So be there or be square. And we got one more. November 10th, we got Best in Vancouver Night 3 happening at the Railway Stage and Beer Cafe. We got Chill Pilgrim, Marry Me, Gentlemind, Christopher Goodchild among the bands competing in the Best in Vancouver knockout competition happening tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Be there or be square. You know what it is. Back to you.
Sounds like Brandon. An exciting string of events.
Yes, sir.
Good stuff. All right.
Guess we're going to have to wrap up.
Yeah, I'm looking at our time. I feel like that's about all we have. If anyone has any final thoughts they'd like to share?
I think I'm good. Yeah. I feel like we had a nice range of topics there.
All right.
Yeah. Before we leave you guys, just want to mention that, you know, Music Affairs Collective, we're supposed to be the representatives of, you know, UBC in the Lower Mainland music community. So we encourage all UBC artists, music enthusiasts. And if you just got a topic or discussion that you just want to discuss, if there's something that you want to put out there in the community, you know, share it with us. You can check us out on our Facebook group. We got the CITR Music Affairs Collective group. You can email us at CITR, musicaffairs@citr.ca. We'll be on there. Feel free to add any of us personally on Facebook, especially Zobin. Looking forward to hearing from you guys.
All right, this has been Word on the Street, the weekly UBC Music Affairs Collective show. Thank you all for listening. We're going to have one more song or two to play you guys out, and yeah, see you next week.
I need somebody.
Help.
Not just anybody.
Help.
You know I need someone.
Do you ever feel uncomfortable or unsafe walking around campus at night? There's an AMS service dedicated to helping anyone trying to get across campus alone at night. We're SafeWalk, and we have your back. Call us at 604-822-5355 to request a transfer, or check out our website at ams.ubc.ca/safewalk for more information on hours and policies.